The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
I hate to start your Monday off on this, but we have to. We all have to decide who we are and what we believe. And we either believe in the Bill of Rights or we don't. Look at what happened in Venezuela this weekend. You know, they're voting to change the Constitution. And basically, they're voting to put it into a dictatorship. And this is going to happen all over the world. Mark my words, all over the world. We're going to slide into fascism and communism, totalitarianism, any of those isms. It's going to happen because chaos is ruling. And when chaos rules, people look to any strong man just to stop the insanity. It's human nature. We would like to think we're immune from that. But 45% of Americans now say that courts should be able to shut down media that has too much of a point of view. By the way, that's just the First Amendment. Don't worry about that. But the GOP is not the savior on this one. Do we believe in the First Amendment? We go there, and I want to hear your voice right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
45 to 20. 45% say, yeah, a judge should be able to say, you have too much point of view. And shut down a newspaper or a news organization, television station, cable company, online, whatever it is, you have too much of an opinion. Holy cow. Americans, you better pay attention to this. First, they came for the labor unions. And I said nothing because I wasn't a union member. Remember how that ends? And then they came for me and no one was around. So you want to start giving people the right to shut people down if they have too much of an opinion. Well, what about talk radio? 45% of Republicans are for this. Only 20% of Republicans are against. The rest are I don't knows. How is that even possible in today's world? Well, I'll explain. It's possible because so many people have done so much to discredit themselves. And do you remember talking about a time that people won't know what to believe or who to believe? Too many people have discredited themselves. And now it's up to you. And now, hopefully, you have some credibility left and you can say to your friends and family, don't go there. Don't go there. I know it feels good, but don't go there. Why wouldn't people just shut down talk radio? Why wouldn't they just shut down the talk radio that they don't like? Why not shut down Fox News? Republicans are thinking that they can shut down CNN or NPR or I don't know what. MSNBC, too much of an opinion. But where does that stop? Who decides? The mob? The judges? The judges? You want court systems? The same people who have helped get us into this mess? The same people who don't understand the Second Amendment? You want them to now start to parse the First Amendment? The same court system that said that O.J. Simpson wasn't guilty? I don't small government and conservative principles have nothing to do with this. This is fascism. The First Amendment is there because the world has gone through this time and time and time again. How many things do we have to see in our own lifetime? How many things do we have to read in history books? And for that not to be relevant, well, nobody reads history. Nobody's paying attention. Okay, how many things do we need in pop culture to tell us that this always leads to dark places? How many people watched Games of Thrones, Game of Thrones a couple of weeks ago? 17 million? Broke all records? Have you noticed what life is like there? Do you think that's protected speech? What happens when you shut a news organization down? Do you think those people just go away, or do they find other ways to communicate? Do I now have to shut them down on the internet? Do I now have to shut them down as individuals? And if they still won't be shut down, if they still go around town and they become a town crier, and they're just saying it to their friends and anybody else who will listen, do we have to jail them? How do we silence them? This is a disaster. Shutting down news organizations that are publishing stories that are biased or inaccurate. How are we going to decide what is inaccurate? How do we define that? Half of the country is saying that something that the president's son himself released wasn't released or wasn't true. Is reporting on that something that is a verifiable fact? That what is it? 45% of conservatives don't believe is a fact? He released it himself. He released it in advance because the New York Times was coming out 6 minutes later. I could understand if you said, I don't believe the New York Times, but now you're saying that something that Donald Trump Jr. did didn't happen. And if it did, it was fake. Why would he release bad information about him? The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with everyone else. So how do we solve this one? Well, we have to start teaching the Constitution. We have to start teaching history. And I thought that we needed to spread it. I thought we needed to get it outside of our own circles, but we don't. We need to be rock solid in our own circles. We need to start teaching critical thinking. You know who the best critical thinker I know is a guy who grew up with Torah studies. I think the best critical thinkers, honestly, are those who went through Torah studies. Maybe we should just start teaching the Torah. That gets your God and your critical thinking. we're sicker than we presumed. There's a quote, I've been saying it lately a lot. A friend told it to me. And I can't remember who it is. It's like Xerxes or somebody from, you know, a billion years ago. Some Greek. And what he said was, in a nutshell, people don't rise to the occasion. They don't rise to the level of expectations. They don't. They rise to the level of their preparedness and knowledge. Now think of that. Think of all of the people that rose to the occasion in the darkest hours. They were always the people, Abraham Lincoln, who had gone through something in advance and really prepared themselves, knew who they were, and prepared themselves. Corrie Ten Boom. She grew up in a family that knew exactly what it was, and her father prepared the whole family for those times. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's what he did for a living. He had something in him that allowed him to think differently, and he started to think about the future and what was coming. And before it hit, he had already decided, I'm not going there, I'm not going there, I'm not going there. What am I going to do? We're living in a time right now where people are struggling, and it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And what's on that first base? Can you look one of those? One of you guys look this up real quick. Maslow's law is, you know, the hierarchy of needs is you know, I've got to have food and water and shelter, protection. That's the baseline. And it won't allow you to look at anything else. If you don't have that baseline, you don't have the privilege of looking toward anything else. You have it, Pat?
Yeah.
What is it?
Food, water, warmth, rest, basic needs. Safety needs, security and safety.
That's the next level?
Yeah. Then after that, belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships and friends. Just above that, esteem needs, prestige and feeling of accomplishment. And then at the top, self-actualization, achieving one's full potential, including creative activities.
Okay. How many times do I talk about we're born for this time? That's self-actualization. That is, what am I here for? What is my purpose? There are so many people that are down at the bottom all over the world that are looking for food, water, shelter, warmth. Then they're at security. That could be jobs. That could be, I need my health care so my whole family doesn't crater. I've got a terminal illness, or I have an illness, or my son or daughter has an illness. Do you think Charlie Gard's parents were thinking in the last 6 months about self-actualization? All they were thinking about was saving their child's life. That's it. If you have the ability now to be thinking about, I'm here for a reason. You're a lucky one, and you're going to become more rare. You have to now say, who am I going to be when the time gets trouble for me? And it's not enough just to think about it. You actually have to prepare for it. And while you're doing that, we have to go help the people at the bottom the people who don't have the ability now to think beyond, look, I'll do whatever I have to do. The media has got to shut up because we've got to get things done. They can't see past what the media is doing. And so they just want to get something done. And we've always been against, no, you don't just get something. Somebody's got to do something. If we could just save the life of one child, that's never worked for us. But it's working now. Because we have massive pain inflicted on a lot of Americans. More in just a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Today is the last day to get $100 off Simply Safe's special summer package. Summer is prime time for burglary. You can protect your home and your family. Simply Safe's biggest ever summer sale has everything you need to protect your home, an arsenal of security sensors to secure every door and every window. Your Simply Safe system comes with a panic button, a blaring extra siren, and a wireless connection to authorities and to police dispatch. With Simply Safe, there's no long-term contracts, no installation, and no hidden fees. And 24/7 protection and monitoring is just $14.99 a month. This summer, see what Simply Safe can do for your home. Get $100 off the summer security package at simplysafebeck.com. Sale ends today. $100 off today is the last day. simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Want to see Glenn live? If you're coming to Texas, you can. Join us at Mercury Studios in Dallas for a taping of Glenn's television show. To reserve your seat, email tickets at glennbeck.com with your information. That's tickets at glennbeck.com. Mercury.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, here we are. 45% of Republicans are now saying that that the judges should be able to say that newspaper needs to be shut down, or that television network needs to be shut down, or that reporter needs to be shut down because they're either too biased or they're not telling the truth.
And did you see it was only 18% of Democrats want the same thing?
If the chairs would have
amazing.
Been flipped?
Yeah,
asked that question... when Fox News was at its height.
Oh, my gosh. It would have been 80% of
Democrats.
It
would have been 80. Yeah. I mean, it would have been. I mean, we're just switching chairs.
Yep.
It just depends on who's in power. And that is the secret of recognition of the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
The voice that people don't want to hear, that the bullies don't want to hear. Those are the ones that you have to protect. The one that majority says is fine. Doesn't matter. You have to protect the voice that nobody wants to hear.
And that's the thing. 43%, a plurality of the population, hasn't heard enough to form an opinion yet about whether the state should be allowed to target news outlets for closure. You haven't heard enough. I mean, it was the 1700s we're talking about here.
But they don't know that.
No, I know. And that's the problem, right?
They don't know that.
And the fact that they're switching is not is a very human instinct. We can criticize it all we want, and
it should
be criticized, but it's very human unless you have a foundational principle that you're acting on.
Right.
Unless there's something guiding you other than what feels good at this moment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding, here's the problem. And we've engaged in this. I can give you this story. MTV Moon Man gets a new PC name. Okay, the new MTV award. It's no longer a moon man. It's a moon person.
I mean, okay. It can't be real.
No, it is real. It's real. It's real.
Variety okay. is reporting it.
Yeah. So it's real. It's a moon person. Now think of the cheers that went up for the people who tried to get MTV to change that to a moon person.
Oh, yeah.
Now think of how ridiculous their life is, that they think that actually makes a difference. That's the problem. What we would normally do is mock those people and ridicule them like crazy. Where does that get us? Where does this get the moon man? Who cares? Who cares? We need to talk about issues that actually impact people. And usually those revolve around the Constitution and basic needs.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
It was March 20th, 1854, and it happened in Ripon, Wisconsin. Any idea what it was? 1854, March 20th, Ripon, Wisconsin. Huge. Made a massive impact on our country. What was it?
Can you give us any more detail?
Yeah, March 20th, 1854, Ripon, Wisconsin.
That could be a lot of things.
Huge.
I bet
huge.
A lot of things happened that day.
The Gatling gun was invented.
I'm going to say...
A first and
the
only...
The Follette was born.
No, first and only happened there. This is the first time and only time something happened that was successful.
Isn't that like the...
And it's still around today and impacts our life.
Jeffy's diet.
And not Jeffy's diet.
That's
and
not
we're about,
so.
No, it was in 1884.
And we are currently successful. At a new crossroads exactly the way we were at 1854. That this solved last time, and now it is the problem, or one of them.
The GOP.
Yes. The GOP, the very first time and only time a third successful party mm-hmm. was born. And it stood against the, quote, twin relics of barbarism.
Sure doesn't do that anymore, does it? You couldn't say that the GOP stands against...
No, it is a relic.
Here were the twin relics of barbarism, slavery and polygamy.
Wow.
Those were the two twins that Congress would not take seriously.
Bizarre.
Yeah, didn't know that. Did not know that about...
I didn't know that.
Polygamy in 1854.
No.
I guess maybe because slavery was so much bigger.
Yeah.
But Congress wouldn't do anything. Now, here we are again. We have our twin relics of Barbary. I would say... spending and corruption? What would they be today? War and corruption?
There's so many things now.
The end of the Constitution and spending? What is it?
All of
the
above.
Corruption. Corruption has to be one of them.
I mean, you're only making it two because it was two back then. That doesn't mean it's two now.
Yeah, no, I know. But I think we could probably boil that down, and it would probably come down to just a couple of things that are the real problem here. Now, third party. If a third party were to start today, it would have to do what the third party did in 1854, and that is eliminate one of the parties. It would have to eliminate... either the Democrats or the Republicans. Because right now, we all know that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are beginning to fuse into one. I mean, you know, tell me the difference between...
Well, they're two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. Tell me the difference between the health care debate that the Republicans just had and the health care debate that the Democrats had, except the Democrats were successful. Tell me the difference. There is no difference. Okay. Tell me the difference between
winning, right? I mean, that's the difference.
Tell me the difference between the spending habits of the Democrats and the Republicans.
No difference.
None. The tax plans between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, we'll see. But.
Yeah. Relatively no difference. I mean, they're within 10 points of each other.
I mean, the Steve Bannon pitch is exactly the pitch we've been getting from Democrats
for the rich.
10
yes,
years. Tax the rich more, lower it on lower lower brackets.
Paul Ryan did say, however, they're going to stick the landing on tax reform.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We're all set then.
Good.
So we got that going for us. They're going to stick the landing.
Okay. So now here's the problem. Conservative principles have not become about the free market. Conservative principles have become nothing more than we will save fill in the blank. And it's not even the Western way of life. It's not even the Constitution. It's really none of those things. Tell me the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats on education. They both were for Common Core.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. I mean, they're both going down the same
way.
So they're not saving the Republic. They're not saving our history. What are they conserving? They seem to me to be conserving their own job more than anything else. Their own power. Because they don't think conservative ideas are popular. And conservative style, I mean, what is conservative style? What is that? The conservative what? What's popular about being a conservative? Zero. Now what's hurting the conservative movement is the fact that conservatives are saying, generally, I will save your job. Well, you can't save jobs in the era of globalization. Well, that's why I'm against globalization. Well, you can be against globalization all you want. It's kind of like being against air. What happened is the free market Adam Smith ideas that America unleashed on the world have taken off all over the world. And so now entrepreneurs, through another American invention, the internet, are growing everywhere. And they're growing in the community of where those entrepreneurs are and those natural resources. We don't have to take the natural resources from the jungle anymore and ship them over here to be made. They can be made there by the people who live there. And they can be shipped to us. I can find a cricket bat online. I don't have to go to Great Britain. I don't have to go and call people who happen to be from Great Britain or India and say, hey, do makes cricket bat. I can go online right now, Jeffy. Find out where I can buy a cricket bat. Let's see how long it takes.
I'm guessing you could go to Academy Sports and buy a cricket bat.
Okay. I mean, how crazy is this world now?
Yeah.
That's good.
Dick's Sporting Goods. $79.99.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Go see if you can find an authentic English or Indian cricket bat made. Who makes the best?
Well, there's the cricket store online. The entire cricket store online.
Okay. Look at this. Look at this. That's globalization. And that is good. That's good.
Globalist. Listen to this globalist right here.
Globalization has brought the benefits of capitalism to the entire world, to places where international trade had never, ever been known. Now it's local entrepreneurship for them, capitalism for them, and capitalism for us. And there are no barriers. That's all good. Where it gets bad is where governments and corporations begin to get involved. Now, this also means that we have, for the last 100 years, had capitalism and had the resources. We are full of more resources than any other space on the planet. We have the cheapest energy on the planet, or did. We had the most stable government on the planet, or did. As our resources, like stability and energy, begin to dry up, others are going to be more competitive. As we have said, okay, I want a better life. I want more time off. I want this. I want that. I want a higher salary. I want more pension. Those people who were just like us 100 years ago, they're like, I don't need any of that. I just want to create. I'd like to be able to eat and to feed my family. Of course they're going to come up with something and they're going to try to sell it to us. And of course we're going to buy it because it'll be cheaper. If you don't like globalization, do not buy anything at Walmart or Target or any place that sells things cheaply, because they're getting it from other parts of the world that can make those things cheaper. The conservative movement has become that, an obstacle to that. We were in an exclusive club. We're not in that club anymore. It's not avoidable, and it's also not reversible. That doesn't mean we're going to like it. We don't. People won't like it. People won't like it when it's happening to their country in reverse. So now we need a party that is actually going to do what? Well, make us more competitive by balancing the budget in a responsible way. But where's the constituency for that? Reforming entitlements. These are going to kill us and cripple us. And then we will not be competitive at all. In fact, our children will be slaves to whoever has taken the title from America. Where's the constituency for that? They're too young to vote. Where's the constituency for actually shutting down the education system that we have? We all know it doesn't work. We all know. Republicans and Democrats, we all know. But what we won't do is actually do anything about it because of labor unions, because many of us are paralyzed, because we don't know, because many of us are too busy to actually get involved in things like that. The parties are craven. They're cowardly. They're corrupt. But the main problem with developing a third party and doing what happened in 1854, which saved the Republic, when we got to this position, what saved the Republic was 20 people who got together from both sides of the aisle, Whigs and Democrats, mainly Whigs, and said, neither party is serious about solving this slavery thing. I'm out. But there was enough people that wanted an end to slavery. Are there enough people that want what the conservative movement is selling? If you want to fix America, conservatives, you first need to figure out a way to explain to America why they should want that. That's not going to be easy. But when we come to the table with that, and not mockery, not lies, not campaign promises that will always be broken, but with real true vision of what America can be, what America was, and what it's going to be, not again, but what it's going to be in a new era, and why these tough steps are really important and they will affect you in a positive way, and why you want them, when we hit that, we'll begin to win. And quite honestly, we'll deserve to win. Our sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Free Wi-Fi is convenient when you're on the go. It's free, but it's not always safe. 92% of Americans potentially put their personal information at risk while using public Wi-Fi. We depend on Wi-Fi. Stay connected. Unfortunately, unsecure Wi-Fi is easier than you think to hack into. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity thefts. And if there's a problem, they have a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist that's going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But if you act right now, they're going to add the protection of Norton Security for free. Now, that's you're going to get that for the first year for free when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you're also going to get a special 15% discount off the first year of your LifeLock membership. So call 800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. You use the promo code BECK15. That'll save you the 15%, and you can get the bundle of Norton security along with your LifeLock membership with the first year of Norton's security for free. Terms and conditions do apply. It is BECK15 at LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to it. By the way, Joel Osteen did not see this coming, and I don't know how this is going to affect...
I don't think anybody saw this coming. This
I don't
is
think
amazing.
So either, yeah. Yeah. Some big news. Vicki Osteen is leaving the Lakewood Church to start her own facial cream business.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She can't do both of those together?
No. Well, she
no.
kept it under wraps, and she was doing them together for a while.
Right.
But it's become so successful that she doesn't want the company to be associated with Lakewood Church. So now she's got to leave.
There's nothing offensive. There's nothing offensive about this ad with her. There's nothing that's harmful, detrimental to her, her husband, Lakewood Church. You know, same thing with Chip and Joanna. Nothing.
Yeah. And it's
I think these lies, these face cream lies, I think they're fine.
Oh, they're great.
We would have never known had she not had been asked a separate question from that same reporter.
Was it the same reporter?
He went off script? Did that same reporter go off script again?
Yes. And nobody knew about it?
No one knew until they asked
until they asked that question. And now it's coming as a big shock to a lot of people. Oh, I'm thinking Vicki as well.
Yeah.
Probably is a surprise to her.
Big shock to her as
so
well.
So incredible that they continue to get sure away with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, the Al Gore movie came out this weekend. I know we all went to see it.
Oh, man.
We have an update on that and so much more coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
So Al Gore's got a new movie out.
Yay!
Oh, it sounds like an Oscar winner already. It's an inconvenient sequel. It was open in some cities, limited release. It's coming to a theater near you soon enough. This is where he's showing us. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the things that I said, in fact, almost all the things I said in the last movie didn't come true. But that's because we have, you know, renewable, 100% renewable cities like Georgetown, Texas. Wow, really? We'll find out about Georgetown, Texas here in a second. We have Alex Epstein in with us. Epstein, he is the author of the book, The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. He also is with the Cato Institute. For those of you... the 45% of Republicans that think that we should have a judge decide which media outlets can stay on because of their lies or their bias, be careful, because the minute you lose control and the other side loses control, this hour would be completely and immediately banned. The inconvenient sequel with the really easy truth begins right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program, Alex. I am I'm happy to say I did not go to the opening weekend of Al Gore's new movie. I'm sure people were beating a path to its door. to see all of the truth. Did he address in the movie, Alex, at all, the idea that almost everything he said in the last movie was wrong?
This is probably going to surprise you, but his central claim is that he was even more right than he thought.
Wow, what a surprise.
That. Really? I love that.
Really? How exactly was he right?
Well, one thing that he does is with some of the specific predictions, such as the 20-foot rise in sea levels, he acknowledges them at the beginning and then makes some other points and then pretends that they've been acknowledged and that he's been vindicated. So one of them is, I guess, clever for that reason, to acknowledge and then to act like you've dealt with them, which is more powerful than, I guess, not dealing with them or not acknowledging them. But I think it's important that the central narrative of the movie is that, A, you indicated this before at the Georgetown, renewables are taking over the energy world, so fossil fuels are no longer necessary, and B, climate is more dangerous than ever. Those are the two threads, and he says rightly that those were the two threads of the first movie. So a lot of it hinges on, are those two claims true, and they're not.
Okay, well, take me to the 100% renewable city like Georgetown, Texas.
So you see a really interesting image because you see this very self-satisfied mayor and board is very happy because this is allegedly the reddest county and the reddest city and the reddest state and the reddest country, blah, 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 right? And they're using 100% renewable. Now, the first thing you see if you're a serious viewer is just a lot full of gasoline cars. So this should, and they say renewable energy, not renewable electricity. So this should be a giveaway. And then more broadly, I think if you think about it, you should know that, well, solar and wind are unreliable sources. The proper name for them is not renewables, it's unreliables. So how is the whole town going to be powered at night and in different weather conditions? That should be suspicious, and they should at least give you an explanation if such a magical feat is to be pulled off. But that doesn't happen at all. So if you look into it, this is actually a pretty standard dishonest practice. What happens is there's a grid that has a bunch of reliable sources and then a little bit of unreliable energy. And then people who want to look really good, they pay the grid to say, hey, we want credit for all the unreliable energy. So in this case, there's something like 14% renewable, which includes hydro, which is reliable, but there's a solar and wind portion. So Georgetown makes a contract with the grid that says, hey, we want you to label all of our grid electricity solar and wind, and everybody else is dirty, and we'll pay for that. And that's what Apple and Facebook and Google do. So it's just a pure accounting fraud.
Wait.
That's amazing.
Wait. How do you do that? How do you, they just by, if I'm connected to the grid and I am using, let's say, solar, I can only use so much solar for so long during the day. If I'm not using all that solar, I put it back into the grid and then I can claim that I am completely clean, even though at night I may not be using batteries. I may be using the grid.
Right. This is a much worse version of that because it's just the percentages are so different. I mean, I've thought of it this way. It's like, imagine that I was thinking, you know, with Apple, you imagine that Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, wants to cross the ocean without using fossil fuels. And he doesn't want to just have a sailboat, right? Well, what does he need? He needs fuel oil or diesel or some form of oil fuel. So how is he going to be 100% solar and wind? And so Al Gore's basic solution as well. In addition to that, to the engine that's really doing the work, let's put a sail on top of the yacht so that, you know, that gets a little bit of power from the wind. And then he says, well, Tim Cook, we'll pay the other passengers. So they say they got the energy from the engine and you got the energy from the sail.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
You have to admire.
Oh my gosh.
You have to admire it at some level. At some devious level, you have to admire it.
So he says the catastrophic temperature rise, sea level rises, flooding, drought, storms, and disease, all of that has come true. Can you take those apart one by one?
Well, can I take them apart all at once and then we can do one by one?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because I think it's, as a viewer of this movie, we have a responsibility, which is to demand that people who document important issues give us the whole picture about those issues. So one thing we should ask ourselves is, what would the whole picture look like? What kind of evidence would we need? And in terms of a climate catastrophe, climate getting catastrophically dangerous, the number one thing we would need to know is, what is the trend? What is the global trend? Not just one example, but what's the global trend of climate-related deaths, people dying from storms and floods? Because this is what Gore is claiming is worse. Now, anyone watching this movie would infer, because Gore doesn't give this data, but they would infer that millions of people a year are dying from climate, and this is worse than ever. But in fact, if you look back, billions of people used to die from climate before we were industrialized fully. So in the 30s, you had millions of people who would die from climate. But last year, I don't think anyone could imagine this. They tally all climate-related deaths from international disaster database, from storms and floods and heat and cold and everything that's supposedly getting worse. And last year, the worst year ever, it's always the worst year ever, there were 6,114 climate-related deaths globally.
Wow. It's a huge drop. It's over 90% from not too long ago, less than 100 years ago.
Right. And it's because nature doesn't give us a safe climate that we make dangerous. It gives us a dangerous climate that we make safe.
Have you seen, I saw an article this weekend about the permafrost melting. And they're talking about how in Siberia, these giant holes are opening up. And in the article, I mean, the headline was something like climate change, you know, disaster, permafrost melting. And I click on it. And in the article, it quotes scientists as saying this has nothing to do with climate change. This has something to do with the axis or the tilt of the earth has changed. Something has changed, but it has nothing to do with climate. Have you read about this at all?
Well, I don't know if it has nothing to do with climate. I think that the spreading of the term climate change as an allegedly coherent term is very destructive to thinking, because it's not a coherent term. So I just think it's easier to talk about CO2 levels. So if we think, okay, do higher CO2 levels cause this? It probably, like a lot of things, the truth is no. But what I'm concerned about is not, is there change, but how is human flourishing going? And what human flourishing needs to go and to advance is lots and lots and lots of energy for everything in life, including protecting ourselves from the climate. So I'd go so far as to say that even if we wanted to, at this point in technological history, we do not have the ability to make climate significantly more dangerous by our emissions, but we can make it far, far safer via energy.
We have Alex Epstein, and he's the author of the book Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. He also is an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute and heads up the Center for Industrial Progress. The current thinking is just let this, you know, the old generation like me die, because everybody, you know, under 40 believes this to be true. And so now they're just saying, just let it play out. We'll get what we want, you know, from the younger generation once the younger generation seizes power. You see that is viable? Any way to combat that?
Well, I've managed to escape. I'm going to be 37 tomorrow. So I don't know. They want me to die. Right. They probably do.
Oh, I think they do want you to
they
die.
They definitely want you to die, Alex. Yeah. There's no question about that.
So I think that I'll tell you my experience is actually very positive on this, which is that if these issues are explained a certain way, you can win a lot of people over. I'm in San Francisco right now. I spoke at Google last week on this, and I had a lot of success. But I think the key is this. We have to, the way to do it is to not focus on is there climate change or not, which is a very vague kind of thing anyway. Mm-hmm. Because what's climate non-change? So it's just this thing where that's not the issue. The issue is, what is the best policy if we look at the positives and negatives for human flourishing? So I don't have to prove that fossil fuels have no impact on climate. I have no desire to prove that. I just have to show that overall, this is it's a really, really good thing that we keep using fossil fuels and, in fact, use more than fossil fuels. And then if we don't, it'll be really bad for a lot of people. And in fact, Glenn, I don't know if you remember this. I remember this very well. We talked a couple of years ago And I had told you that by using energy, we basically multiply our power by 96 by using machines and fuel. And you said, hey, could you teach 96 people to do that? And since then, to do what you do in terms of persuasion, since then, we have a couple of programs. So if you want to do this, if you have 96 listeners, we can just send them 96 of our programs, and we can see how effective they are in persuading their peers.
Mm-hmm. Be an interesting thing to watch.
I'd love that. All right, so let's get some information on that. I'd also like to ask you, Alex, if you would like to come down and hold our hand through the inconvenient sequel, because I'd like to take a group of people who really want to know this, want to know the facts, want to listen to both sides, and then can go in and decide for themselves with the facts and then go do something about it. I'm really interested in finding people from, you know, university campuses that would like to discover the real truth and then go out and be able to combat this. Would you be willing to come down and we'll take a group of listeners and then you can talk to us afterwards and prepare us to go out and we'll run it on TV and everything else?
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Okay, well, don't. You're so verbose.
What time
sometimes.
Is it right now? It's very early in the morning, I suppose.
No. I have a lot. The problem is I have too many ideas about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one, but I just want to enthusiastically accept the invitation as the main thing. But one thing that I would consider, because I'm really interested in this, is just giving people before they watch the movie, not any facts, but a few questions or guidelines about
love that.
It.
So give those to us. Give those to us now. If we happen to have somebody in our life who is going to it, that we can say, "Hey, we want you to watch with these questions in mind." What are they?
Okay, so one is, what does this movie want us to do? That's very important to know. What does this movie want us to like? What action does it want us to take?
Okay.
And then two would be, is it giving us the whole picture that we would need to take that action? Is it giving us the whole picture? So and one thing would be, is it giving us both the positives and negatives of what it tells us to do? Or is it just giving one side? And even with that, you would disqualify 95% of documentaries as worthless.
Alex, thank you so much. Love to have you on again. We'll talk to you off the air. He is the author of the book Moral Case for Fossil Fuels.
Great book. You have to read. But the central argument, it seems, Gore makes in all of his previews is the single most common criticism from skeptics when the film came out focused on the animation showing the ocean water flowing into the World Trade Center memorial site. Skeptics called that demagogic and also absurd and irresponsible. It happened on October 29th. Years ahead of schedule.
So
that's
ridiculous.
His claim. So he's saying, Sandy. I called a flood of New York and a flood of New York happened. Now, of course, you're right. Sandy is what he's talking about. This is something.
But he was talking about
permanent
sea level.
Permanent sea level rise,
sea level rise.
Yes. Of 20 feet.
Why?
And that would displace 100 million people.
Greenland melted.
Because Greenland melted.
That's why.
And the amazing part about it, he has such big balls. That in that section of seven, there's a 70-second section about that claim. In the section, he tells you all of the things that would prove his current claim wrong. It's right. It's legitimately like the next sentence after the one he features in the movie tells you that the prediction had nothing to do with a hurricane or a storm.
Back with more in just a second. First, this from American Financing. Whether you're looking to buy or refinance, if you have been through the mortgage experience, you know what it can be like. American Financing. American Financing has salary-based mortgage consultants that are dedicated to helping you make a smart mortgage decision that aligns with your unique financial needs. Now, what this means is when you go into a bank, they're selling you a mortgage. They want to put you in a mortgage that makes the most money for them. And most times, the people who are selling you that mortgage, they get a commission. It's like going into a car dealership. You just don't know you're going into a car dealership. You know, you're going into a used car dealership sometimes. You think it's a bank and so it's all on the up and up. No, they're making money, and so is the salesperson. American Financing is different. They don't pay their salespeople, if you will. Their consultants are just that, consultants. They're not salespeople. They're not selling you anything. They truly are trying to find the best mortgage for you. And as Stu knows, if they can't find it and you can find it better elsewhere, they will tell you, you know what, you should take that deal. You should, in fact, as Stu's case, because it was insane, they said, you should run to that deal. That's how they do their business. This was a small town mortgage company started by a family, and it has grown. American Financing, AmericanFinancing.net. Reverse mortgages now available. Do your own homework. See why you or see how you can still retain ownership of your home with no mortgage payment and increasing cash flow. Call 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, or AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, sir, there's some additional big news that our guest just refused to look at.
He ignored the entire situation in Greenland.
Just like
you noticed that, because that didn't fit his agenda.
Yeah. Greenland?
Well,
what?
There's been a lot of snow in Greenland this summer.
Oh, well,
it's bad.
No,
it's bad. Don't jump to some weird conclusion.
No, that's good, because Greenland was supposed to melt. Remember, that's what Al Gore said.
But
it was going to melt, and the sea was going to rise.
Well, recent summers on the vast white expanse of the Greenland ice sheet have featured some spectacular ice melt, including the alarming period in 2012 when nearly the whole surface showed signs of melt. They have to say that because usually the interior is adding ice and the exterior is subtracting some. This summer has instead seen several bouts of snow staving off a big summer melt. So what gives? While it may seem contradictory, those snows are actually something Greenland may see more of with global warming.
It does seem contradictory. You're right.
Yeah.
So
they have it both ways. More snow is bad.
Snow.
And then less snow is also bad.
Just pick one. Pick one.
Wait.
Just pick one.
But why pick one when you can have both?
When you can have both.
Right, I want to eat my cake and have it too.
It's a good idea, and it works for him.
Yeah, it does. It does. Back in just a second.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
888-727 back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Really interesting plot being being plotted right now by the president of the White House. He has now come out against the establishment of the GOP. So first he came against the conservatives and the Freedom Caucus. So those who were really strong in the Constitution and the free market. And he put all of his eggs into the Reince Priebus, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan bag, which we knew to be a rotten bag from the beginning. But trust the president, that's where he went. Now he's taking on the entire GOP. Where is he going? Who is he going? What constituency will he have? The Democrats... I think when they have power and they start to pass things and put it on his desk, he will sign them. So if they want to come up with some, thing that's, even more socialist on healthcare, I believe he will sign it because he will look at that as bipartisan wins. And so you will have, in effect, a Republican president siding with a Democratic Congress, because the GOP has destroyed itself. He didn't. They did. They destroyed it. And now he's just going to stand there and make sure that they stay in the grave. And part of me celebrates. It is time for a new party. It is time for a new direction. It is time for new leadership. However they want to do it, that's fine with me. But I don't believe in the party at all. I don't believe in the Democratic Party. I don't believe in the Republican Party.
That was kind of the case of a story I read this weekend, basically saying that now, because he's excised all of the establishment people from his cabinet, basically, that he is essentially an independent. Now, it's not exactly true, but it is an interesting theory in that he no longer has any back, real back channels to Congress to help form policies. He is not tied into that. And that was what Spicer and Priebus and many others below him that have come and gone allowed for.
It didn't really help, though, did it?
Oh, I'm not saying it did. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see where he goes now, because... Yeah. I mean, really, the only person left in the cabinet that has a real connection to the Republican Congress is Mike Pence. I mean, really, there's no one there at this point with that sort of tight connection to influence policy. That's not really the concern, I don't think, of the president. I think the president wants to move things along. He wants to, collect his wins, and he's right now frustrated he's not getting those. So he wants to go in a different direction. It's going to be interesting to see if he can pull that off. I mean, honestly, from the Republican Congress, what I would like is them to work as an independent body.
Me too.
I don't know, a co-equal branch of government. Let's throw out a crazy theory, and have them pass things that they believe are good, that they believe will advance the conservative cause, that will limit government, and give them to the president. And you know what? He's going to sign all of them. He's going to sign all of them. He's not going to care. He's not going to push back against it. He will sign all of them. He is a legislative hall pass. That is an incredible thing to get from a president. You wouldn't have had that from President Cruz or President Jeb Bush or President anybody.
But you don't have. What you have is very small men. You have Mitch McConnell, who's not going to give up his power. And he is going after people like Mo Brooks now. They are spending a fortune going after anyone who was with the Freedom Caucus. So the GOP under Mitch McConnell targeting his own now. You have the GOP. The coffers are full. They are taking in money hand over fist. So he's doing his job. He's making the GOP money. And we'll see in the midterms if they win elections. Only after they lose elections will they think that maybe they should change leadership.
But I mean, if this is a disaster and it continues this way, they don't get tax reform done, by the way, if something like that goes along, you're going to go into 2018 with no accomplishments. They'll likely lose control of one or both in the Congress. And then
they will lose.
The temptation will be there.
Yeah, they will lose. They will lose control of Congress possibly for the next 20 years. I mean, you can't do what they just did to their base and expect anybody to vote or trust you again. And, they think, we're just better than the other guys. Yeah, but that doesn't do anything but just make people say, I don't want a part of either of you.
I don't know. It does seem to be a pretty good tactic. It does seem to pay off in elections. I don't know if it can pay off forever. I don't think it's a good way to build a party or to build a principle-based philosophy.
It's going to work for Donald Trump for a while. It's going to work for him.
But I mean, remember, the GOP congressman in 90% of districts outperformed Donald Trump. 90%. This is not a huge, it's not like Donald Trump won where all Republicans lost. I mean, he underperformed the generic GOP congressman very consistently. The issue here, though, is they need to do something to justify that support.
There are two things less popular than Donald Trump, and that is Congress and the media. He looks like the only guy. If he starts pummeling Congress, in particular the Republicans, he'll become popular.
He's starting to do that.
He's doing that.
Yep.
I mean, he you know what? He's right on this. I mean, I really do blame Congress for this, particularly the healthcare situation.
Oh, yeah.
It's absurd.
They completely blew it.
Because they started with a crap heap of a plan that they couldn't pass.
Yeah.
Then they changed it a little bit and got it through the House. Then they went to the Senate with a worse plan that they couldn't pass. Then they went to the Senate with a plan that they all voted for before. And then all nine of them changed seven of them changed their minds and voted against the thing they had already voted for.
And then what they failed to pass in the end was, let's have another conversation in private about this.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't even do that. Pass that. They couldn't even agree to talk about this. That's how bad they are.
And the risk was they were worried that they would get rid of the individual mandate. Like the consequence, essentially, because the Senate was like, look, we're not going to, unless you promise we're going to go into conference, we're not going to pass this bill because this bill is a bad bill. We're not going to pass this bill. The bill essentially just got rid of the individual mandate. It did almost nothing else except for a couple of delays of a couple of different taxes and regulations. It did almost nothing else except get rid of the individual mandate.
Get rid of the taxes.
Even
it just
that,
delayed them.
Right. Even so, that so they bad. Couldn't come to say, well, God forbid, the worst part of Obamacare, they couldn't come to a conclusion that they should get rid of it.
So let me tell you something that I think has a real chance of passing. The moderates, the left and the right, are coming together now. And they're going to pass something. And they're working on something called, think of this, what is the problem with the world today? It's in chaos. You don't know what's up and down. You don't know where tomorrow, what tomorrow's going to bring. You're worried because the whole thing could collapse or blow up. They've just come up with the Healthcare Stabilization Act.
Mm.
Does that sound good?
Is this our insurance bailouts
good.
And...
this is our Stabilization Act, Stu. Doesn't matter
so
what's
it's in it. Insurance.
No, it doesn't matter what's in it. It's going to stabilize the health insurance industry so we can make sure that we have a stable...
Are you opposed to stabilization of healthcare?
You're
yes,
certainly not
I
a patron.
Wow.
You're not a
in
patriot.
In this form, I am opposed to stabilization.
Why do you hate people and
Why?
Want them to die?
So is that what they're going to do? You think they're going to go to that...
I'll bet they do.
Yeah, throw a bunch of money at the problem and basically fix Obamacare.
Yeah, they're going to go for a Stabilization Act.
And when I say fix Obamacare, I mean dump a bunch of money until it's broken again in a couple of years.
Yep.
But it will stabilize it. Because we just can't get it done. And look, a lot of people really like this and are benefiting. So let's just dump more money into it. And
no
let
surprise.
More time go by so it has its fingers and its roots deeper wrapped around our spinal
cord. We're just a few years away from being on the show begging for them to go back to Obamacare. We will be on the air being like, gosh, if we could just get off this single payer and go back to Obamacare, which was really good. That is how close they're going to move this Overton window until we can't even see it from where we are right now.
Let me go to Jeremy in North Carolina. Hello, Jeremy.
Thank you guys for taking my call. Greetings from the hole in the Bible Belt, a.k.a. the People's Republic of Asheville, North Carolina. Reason for my call is what's very disappointing, we have a Congress who has the perfect cover coming from the president and his administration.
Yep.
He's got all the crazy stuff going on, and the press is just watching that guy over there. They could pass everything, and no one's paying attention. Yet what do? They just open the door in their face every single time, and it's very disheartening. And frustrating.
So what do you think that is caused by, Jeremy?
Frankly, it's, you know, I think Reagan said it best. He said, I did not leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. And I'm the same way. I left the Republican Party years ago when they nominated John McCain in 2008.
Oh, you were so far ahead of the curve. Good for you.
Right. So I look at him and I hear these guys and you hear, oh, I'm new, I'm different, I'm Tea Party, I'm going to do this, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And it's right there in front of them. It's very simple. Simple vote, one line bill that could be passed, and they do nothing. And as a small business operator, it's been devastating, it's frustrating, and we just ask for some relief from the government. Get out of our way.
Yep. Thank you very much, Jeremy. Anybody who is a small business person knows this chaos of not knowing what tomorrow brings is really what's killing us.
Mm.
Stability, not from Congress, but from Washington entirely. Get out of the way. That kind of stability and trusting the American people would do wonders.
Just stability. The tax cut, just the tax reform would help.
Stability is a great word. Maybe we should do something like the Healthcare Stabilization Act. That would that would give us the stability we all need.
Oh my gosh, that sounds really good. What about the Taxation Stabilization Act, too?
Oh, yeah.
We just stabilize taxes right where they are.
Well, higher.
Or a little bit higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially for the wealthy who aren't paying their fair share.
At some point, you've made enough money.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Goldline, the quiet before the storm. There is an economics professor from Yale that says the market is, quote, the low volatility in the market is a phenomenon that is making me lie awake worrying every night. I am reading this everywhere, and everything is unstable. Bitcoin. I just got a deal from the holder of Bitcoin that I bought some Bitcoin. Stu bought some Bitcoin. And they just sent me something and said, hey, by the way, I mean, it's incomprehensible. By the way, we're going to have to close down the exchange for a while.
I've seen these as well.
And may not be able to get your money out or make any exchanges. And in the end, there may be two kinds of Bitcoin.
Yeah, it might not have any value, you have, so you know.
But we're only going to take one. And if it is the one that ends up having value, otherwise we'll try to price yours and sell. And you're like, what? What just happened? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. Everything is up in air. You know, the one thing that has always had value from the beginning is gold.
Will gold split into two currencies
at any point in the future? Not.
No, it will just be gold.
No, it will just be gold.
That's good. That's a good reminder.
Gold won't be all of a sudden wallpaper. You never saw anybody in any third world country that, or first world country like Germany or probably this one that was like, oh, you know, I use gold as toilet paper. No, never happened. And it's a good thing because it would be hard to flush. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Goldline, I want you to call them now. 1-866-465-3546, 866-465-3546. For as little as $2,500, you'll get 3 months of price protection. And the more you spend, the more protection you get, all the way up to a year for $25,000 investment. Nobody is going to be calling you and saying, oh, by the way, it's split in two. Oh, by the way, you may not be able to use it. Oh, by the way, it's worthless. The only thing that cannot be worthless, gold. 1-866-GOLD. 1-866-GOLD or goldline.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Oh man, we have an amazing, amazing guy on Walt Heyer. He started off 1944. His grandmother cross-dressed him as a child. He was physically abused by his father, sexually abused by his uncle. He was diagnosed with 13 different personalities, was evaluated, and then told he needed to transition from a male to a female. He did. Then he transitioned back to a male. And he was listening to commentary we had last week and wanted to talk to us about it. And truly has a remarable story to tell. We'll talk to him.
I think he spent 8 years as a woman, didn't he? I think it was 8 years. So he's got some pretty good experience.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him coming up in just a second. Also, next hour, Stu has a review of Atomic Blonde.
Oh, time.
Pat went to Pat was called by the bank. They didn't think you were investing your money right.
No, they no.
That's where it is. And so they had some things that they could charge you to help, right?
Right. They do.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They said some interesting things, like the banking industry is about to release $4 trillion into the economy. And
$4 trillion.
That's going to spark the economy like crazy.
Sure will, and it'll burn down in inflation.
That's what I told him. Like, if you release $4 trillion all at once, we're going to have inflation at about 900%. Oh, well, no, I'm sure they're going to do it in a reasonable way over time.
Oh,
without
who has this $4 trillion that they're going to release?
The banks do.
Banks do.
Banks
this
do.
Was an official bank representative telling you this stuff?
Yeah.
We should probably pursue that. We'll talk a little bit more about that next hour. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
We are going to talk to a very, very brave man, Walter Heyer. Last week, President Trump tweeted out that he wouldn't allow transgendered individuals to serve in the military. He wrote in an op-ed, "I think he made the right decision. As somebody who lived as a trans female for several years, I should know. When I discovered Congress voted earlier this month not to block funding for transgender-related hormone therapies and sex change surgeries, I wondered if it considered how devastating this will be to the fitness, readiness, and morale of our combat-ready troops." Here is a, I warn you, a very politically incorrect point of view, and one that will shock a lot of people because he actually uses the words gender dysphoria. Walt Heyer. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Cause we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Cause we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Walt.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Well, what a pleasure and an honor to be on your show, Glenn. Thanks so much for inviting me on this today.
You bet. I will tell you, Walt, that you have a remarkable story, and I don't know how much you're comfortable sharing, but can we start at the beginning of your story?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Any questions you have, I want to answer right here for your audience.
Okay, so Walt, start with your childhood and your grandma and your dad and your uncle and everything else.
Yeah, well, I started out, at 4 years old, interested in female things and cross-dressing, and my grandmother helped me by making me a purple chiffon dress, which we both delighted in, and it was our little secret. She did this when she was babysitting me, and so that started the journey of gender dysphoria, journey of transgenderism, journey of confusion over gender. And then when my dad found out a couple of years later, when The Secret was out, and both my mom and dad found out, my dad obviously was furious. And he, you know, not knowing what to do, keep in mind, this is before 1945, because I'm 76 years old. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't much out there about this. So he was, he's a part-time police officer, industrial goods salesman, strong guy. And I'm sure inside him was just turmoil. And so he decided that, to toughen me up, he was going to exercise real strong discipline. And when the secret got out, my uncle, who was an adopted uncle, decided that, it was appropriate to tease and sexually molest me. So, before you get very old in life, you're cross-dressing and you've got some heavy discipline and then you're molested. So it's not the best way to start.
So at 13, you were told you had multiple personalities.
Well, it wasn't quite that early. I did start changing my name. I changed my name at 13 to Crystal West, and people began to wonder that I was confiding in, which was a small group of people. And so I didn't know what was going on. All I knew is I had these very, very strong feelings, and it just didn't go away, Glenn. They went on literally
every hour in my head, I kept thinking that I was in the wrong body and that I should change to being a female.
Walter, I have to tell you, I think America has changed from when you were young. And I think we saw it with Bruce Jenner when he came out and said he's been feeling this way his whole life. I don't know anybody, none of my friends at least, said anything, but I can't imagine going through that and the empathy of feeling that way. Do you feel America has changed when you can tell your story? And I mean, I think the vast majority of people, just their heart breaks for you.
Well, yeah, I think what my heart breaks for everybody who's struggling with it today. You know, I'm fortunate because I've come out the other side. I'm married now for 20 years, and I'm working with transgenders who want to detransition after they found out, as I did, that it was not effective or proper treatment for things that happened during early childhood. So, I'm quite comfortable with who I am as Walt today.
That must be politically incorrect for to be working with other transgender people. I mean,
to even say that you can come out the other side and this is not, I mean, that's a nightmare politically.
Oh, well, it quite frankly happens quite a bit. I've had as many as 3 people in a week contact me. Some of them are doctors, physicians that are changing, airline pilots, 2 teachers who are struggling to, you know, come out with the union and tell them, gee, I need to go back after they got such support. So it's much, much more difficult to detransition because of all the efforts that went into transitioning. So this is the tough part, is to step up and come back.
So Walt, you, at what age did you decide to become a woman and begin to transition?
Yeah, well, about 40 years of age, I went and saw a psychologist up in San Francisco who specialized in this, and he diagnosed me with having gender issues and said that I needed to undergo hormone therapy and wait the 2 appropriate years and then have surgery, then by Dr. Biber in Colorado. And so I thought, well, this is pretty radical, but, you know, I've been struggling with this now, you know, for 36 years by that time. And so the feelings are extremely strong, and my heart goes out to anybody who's struggling with them. But I listened to the guy as though he was an authority on it. And 2 years later, I got my second letter of approval, went and had the surgery in 1983. I was an executive for American Honda Motor Company at the time, and they promptly terminated me, which was, I think appropriate, actually.
Wait. Why?
Well, you know, when somebody's struggling with that depth of issues, personal issues, they're not going to be effective in doing their work. I totally understand that. And so I've never begrudged people for not wanting me. And I went interviewed for over 200 jobs, Glenn, and couldn't get a job because I was one of the early people who went through this. And I understood that. I told my counselor in California at the time, you know, I understand that. It's a confusing issue, and people should have the right to not employ anybody that they don't want to employ.
What
a hate moment
to be tough.
Here's a guy who's been abused. You have every reason to be. Cut me some slack. Where are you getting this Christ-like attitude of, hey, I just need to do my thing, and I understand if you disagree? Where are you getting that kindness
from? Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Just as you
said, I get it from Jesus. You know, totally understand that people are confused by me. Listen, I was a little confused for a while. Frankly, now it's nice to have my feet on the ground.
Okay, especially, sir. Walt, at that time, because the only person I can think of that I knew about when I was growing up that was in your situation was Rene Richards, the tennis player, who went from man to woman, and then there was the big controversy of should she be allowed now to compete against women when she just came from being a man? That had to be a really difficult time period because America wasn't socially where it is now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and keep in mind, Renee Richards has come out later and said, regrets, I have a few.
Really?
So, you know, even, oh, yeah. So, wow. You know, these are the stories that don't get talked about, and Renee doesn't suggest anybody have it. In fact, Renee stays very quiet about it, but I don't.
Wow.
I'm troubled by the fact that we have a population of people who are changing genders, and from 1979 to this day, Glenn, they've been reporting extremely high rates of suicide.
I know.
And suicide attempts at over 40%. So if this is so good and so effective and so wonderful, why are 40% of this population attempting suicide? That's a question I ask all the time.
It's interesting to me. When we talked about this last week, and we spoke about how the, you know, pre-surgery, suicide rate is 46%. Post-surgery, it's 45%. So it's the same. So obviously this does nothing to those feelings at all. And so it's not a life-saving surgery by any stretch of the imagination. And we are just throwing in with this and saying, yep, this is all good. And if I'm not mistaken, the numbers for suicide for you know, people under 30 are even higher than that.
Yeah, the suicide attempts, I don't know what the actual rate of suicide is. The suicide attempts are at 50% in the lower age groups, children especially, 12 to 24, 28, somewhere in there. So, you know, this is just not a healthy thing psychologically or emotionally. And what we do know is that, according to the studies, that 60 to 70% of the population are struggling from what's known as comorbid disorders. That's separation anxiety, dissociative disorders, body dysmorphic disorder, and schizophrenia, and a whole bunch of other disorders that we are totally ignoring in the treatment modality of people who are suffering. We should sit these people down, and what I do is actually talk to them and say, what do you think was the trigger mechanism that set this in motion? And 100% of the time, Glenn, every one of them, over a period of time when we have this discussion, can identify the moment of trauma or event or situation that caused them to not want to be who they are and attempt to become someone who they can never be.
Walt, we're with Walt Heyer, somebody who transitioned from male to female and then back to male. We'll continue with him here in just a second. Our sponsor this half hour is the USCCA, bedrock principle of this country. You have the right to protect you and your family. Now, that's not an American principle. It's not even a God principle. That is nature's principle. You walk into a bear's cave and you walk in with a barrel full of honey and you want to do the bear a favor and you wake the bear up and the bear is going to not say thank you but maul you to death. And there is no one calling for the bear to be arrested. There's no one calling for the bear to go through some sort of trial or court. Believe me, it's not because they're not an animal. There are those attorneys that are working to get animals into court. It's nothing to do with that. Everybody just knows the human was stupid for walking in to the bear's cave, no matter what its intent was. That's a natural law. That is the law that you, as an animal, also have to protect yourself and your young. The USCCA knows that if you ever have to protect yourself, man, the bad guys are going to come for you. This time they're just carrying briefcases. They're attorneys. After a self-defense incident, you can rest assured that somebody has your back. It's the USCCA. Not only do they offer affordable protection, they're also giving you an exclusive opportunity to win big. The Great American Giveaway is still going on, selecting five lucky winners to win $1,776 for your favorite gun or ammo. Five winners, each one $1,776, and the entry is completely free. All you have to do is go to protectanddefend.com right now. You can register to win. Time is limited, but I also want you to really check out what they do. It is so crucial. Go to protectanddefend.com right now. That's protectanddefend.com. We are
one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
We're glad to have Walt Heyer on. He is a guy who has had really an amazing life. Started out in the 1940s with his grandmother cross-dressing him, his father physically abusing him, and his uncle sexually abusing him. Then he was diagnosed with personality disorder and then gender dysphoria. He had a sex change to a man. To a woman. Can you tell me, Walt, what that is like going through that?
Well, when I went from male to female, there was a period of euphoria where, wow, I thought, I finally solved all the problems, and that all of this stuff that I had gone through and suffered was going to be behind me. Mm-hmm. The truth is, it's only a temporary reprieve, because early childhood issues, when you have any event happen that you're struggling with, you need to go to psychotherapy and get it done. So I within 8 years of trying to suppress what had happened in my early life, I finally started going. Well, I went to UC Santa Cruz and studied psychology, realized that, the whole gender thing is really built on a foundation of psychological issues. And they're trying to cure psychological issues by giving people hormones and surgery, which isn't effective. So
Walt, I mean, before you have transgender surgery, no one is recommending to you to have serious psychological work done in your childhood to see where those scars are? Is that just too politically correct now, too?
Oh, that is really politically incorrect. In fact, in California and other states, it's actually against the law for a therapist, if the kid's under 18 years of age who comes in and said, I want to change genders, it's against the law for him to probe into what might have stirred this idea that
teachers are required to probe on sexual abuse and anything else if they have any inkling, yet a psychiatrist cannot probe a child who is having gender dysphoria?
Well, no, that's again. I know it sounds totally absurd. When I had just got an email yesterday from a mother who said, my daughter's getting hormone blockers. She's 12 years old, I think it was. And I know there's something wrong because my child was sexually abused by her father. But they don't care. So they're going to give the child hormone therapies and send them down the track of changing genders. This is so common today. They don't want to acknowledge early childhood trauma in the transgender population. They do not.
Why? Well, that's what Freud has been all about. That's what the progressive movement has been all about. These hidden sexual fantasies and problems.
Glenn, if they allowed in-depth, effective, sound psychotherapy for people who struggled with gender issues, it would collapse the entire hormone and surgery procedure, because they would be able to do effective psychotherapy, they'd be able to pinpoint what the psychological issues are and would make surgery and hormones.
But Walt, I just have to play devil's advocate and push back here. What you're saying is that there are no doctors out there that are in this that just say this. You know, I don't care about the money. We're talking about people here. The whole industry is okay with doing that?
Well, I think there are some really good doctors, because I've had people report to me that, you know, they wouldn't do it because the doctor found that they did have coexisting disorders and wouldn't approve them. And, whether it's a condition called autogynephilia, which people don't talk about, that's a sexual disorder. And so there are some excellent therapists out there that do provide good therapy.
I want to pick it up there you'd have to get rid of other issues first and then go in. I want to talk to you about what it was like and then your transition back to a man, which they say is a very rare procedure when we come back.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Walt Heyer is with us. WaltHeyer.com. H-E-Y-E-R. A guy who has just led an incredible life. Started off young. Grandma cross-dressing him. He says that planted the seed or fanned the flames of desire, physically abused by his father, sexually abused by his uncle, was diagnosed with personality disorders, then was a very early adopter of being transgendered back in the 1980s when it must have been... You were remarkably alone, Walt. This was the time, wasn't it, that's early for America to doing this. I think when I was growing up in the 70s, that it was all in Sweden or someplace, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, the Dr. Biber in Trinidad, Colorado was the kind of the sex change capital of the United States. And by the time I had gone there, he'd done, it sounds like a lot then, but about 2,800 or 2,700. So he was well on his way. He'd started in the late 70s doing the procedure. So he was pumping them out almost daily.
So when you had a sex change, I don't need to get graphic here, but all the parts were changed. What is that like? Walt?
Well, you know, at first you think this is good and this is the way you should be. And then you realize that you've just been mutilated totally unnecessarily because people didn't look at the early childhood issues. So that's devastating and it's hard to deal with. And then you realize back in those days, they didn't have, good surgeons who could do anything to replace the destruction, and it was extremely expensive, and I was financially destitute, and so there's some things you just weren't able to do, so you transition back in as many ways as you possibly can. But even today, many of the what they call phalloplasty, which is putting things back together, isn't totally, it's not going to function as it once did. And so that can actually be another deeper psychological issue after you detransition and have the surgery. Some of them, reports are that they work fairly well. Other reports is they don't. So it's a kind of a mixed bag.
Well, wouldn't have any feeling down there. I mean, it's and you've taken away... chemically, in many ways, some of the things that make you a man.
Yeah, well, one of the things, Glenn, that I came to the conclusion that appendage did not make me a man.
I understand.
Makes me a man.
I hate to get, I just don't want to get graphic, but
Rick.
There are things involved that,
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, it isn't totally replaceable. Let's just put it.
Yeah. So Walt, what was it when you had transitioned to a woman? You say it lasted for a while, this euphoria, and then it kind of started to go back to the way it was, to where you're like, I am what? Because you had thought you were a woman, or you'd just be happier as a woman beforehand.
Yeah, I thought I would be much happier as a woman, but then you realize that the same thing, Glenn, kind of happens over again. I don't remember what point it was, but a point on down the road, you realize now you're a man trapped in a woman's body. How do you fix that? And this is the reason for this, is because you never really resolved the original issues that caused you to not want to be who you are. And so I think that's the core issue. We need to look at this as people not wanting to be who they really are and attempt to become someone who they cannot be.
I have to tell you, I cannot imagine. I mean, look, you know, I said this last week, and we've had this for a long time. You know what? That is between you and your maker and whatever, you know. I just am not going to judge people. And I can't imagine living the life that you have lived. I thank God I haven't had to. But you have come out of it on the other side, happy and whole and finally at peace. But there are, I can't imagine that people wouldn't say, hey, let's overturn every stone before we start doing this. Let's just make sure that this is what's really going on with you before we take some really dramatic to push that all underneath the rug is sickening to me. But at the same time, Walt, you have said more things. I know this show is going to show up on all of the lefty sites and going to say that I've had a hate monger on and that I am bigoted and everything else, when I've not heard anything but compassion from you, compassion from us. And you have said some controversial things that nobody wants to say, like it's you're not born that way.
Right. Yeah. And you know, Glenn, I wouldn't be here today. Let's just take it for what it is. It's Jesus and my 31 years of sober living that make this possible. And so once I came to know the Lord and got sober, things began to fall into place. So I understand that people, and I struggled when I didn't have those two things in place. So
me too.
I know there are going to be a lot of people who are not going to like what I have to say, but I'm concerned about the number of people who are attempting suicide, and that's why I speak out, because I hate to see that. I know that I was one of them who attempted suicide, and my heart breaks for them that they become so confused and so just entrenched into this whole transgender life that they just want to kill themselves. I mean, that, to me, should stop the hormones and surgeries right in their tracks until, like you said, they should turn over every stone. You're so correct in that, Glenn.
Well,
over every stone.
Until you go to AA, I mean, as a recovering alcoholic, you know, you'll go to a doctor and they'll treat you with all kinds of stuff. They'll give you all kinds of drugs and everything else to help you through whatever it is. But until you turn and find a higher power and you start doing the 12 steps and realize there's something in you. You know, you can say it's a disease all you want. I don't care. I don't care if I was born this way. There are tons of alcoholics in my family, and there are tons of people that have committed suicide, or at least it seems like that in my head, you know, in my family, that have killed themselves. If I was born that way, fine, I'm born that way. But it doesn't matter to me, because I know what has helped, and AA and going through and plowing through the whole life and making peace and then serving is the answer, at least for me and millions of other people. It sounds like it's the same kind of thing that you're saying.
Exactly. You know, and in AA, we talk about doing the same thing over and over again as insanity. Well, here we are with the transgender surgeries and hormones. They've known since 1979 that people attempt suicide, and they're still attempting suicide today, and they're still giving hormones and surgery to people. I mean, that's insanity.
Walt, are you completely comfortable in your own skin now? Do you feel like
absolutely.
A man?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, so those feelings, none of that lingered then? You've overcome
no,
that?
No, no okay. Lingering.
Wow.
When did you meet your wife, and how did you go through all of this with her?
Well, I was actually speaking at an AA meeting, a recovery meeting, and she had nudged a friend that she was there with and said, God, that's the kind of guy I want. He's been through all this stuff, and he's out the other side, you know. So we started seeing each other, and so we knew each other for about 5 years before we got married. And we were married in May, 20 years. And so it's wonderful. I mean, she is, just my companion, my rock. She edits all my books and all my writing and so supportive of what I do. And she's just fantastic.
You know, I looked at your website during one of the breaks, and I see the people who are there who are, you know, have transitioned to women and now want to transition back, and the heartbreak there. At what point, Walt, did you... I just talked to somebody who said to me, you know, I don't talk about my alcoholism, Glenn. I know you do, but I don't really talk about it at all. I don't see any good that comes of that. And I said, well, you know, to each his own. For me, I've seen tremendous good come from that because I'm not hiding it and I don't care. And it helps other people. At what point in your life did you say, I don't care if people know that I want to be a woman. I don't care if people know that I want to go back to being a man. And I don't care that the world seems against me on political correctness. I'm going to say it. Was there one turning point in your life?
Well, yeah, I think when we started the website about 12 years ago, and I thought I was probably the only person in the entire world that regretted it. And then all of a sudden, within, you know, that first year, we realized we got 700 people came to the website that first year. And, you know, one person contacted us, and I thought, okay, well, I'm not alone. Well, to give you an idea, 2015, 350,000 people came to the website, and now we have people contacting us frequently from around the world in the United States, Canada, Australia, Italy, everywhere, who are struggling with these issues because we're really giving them the wrong information about what and how to treat gender issues. And so I'm excited today that I can lend an ear to it. You know, I can't change what, the powerful groups are doing, but if I can help one person, if I can prevent one person from committing suicide, which I've already done, if I can prevent somebody from totally unnecessary surgery, then, you know, my life has meaning, and that's why I'm here.
If you had one message for somebody or a parent that was struggling with this, what would the message be?
Well, anytime somebody is announcing that they are transgender, someone needs to begin to look back and see when that onset of that desire, that feeling, that struggle, and begin to explore what caused it. Was it a traumatic event? Was it an illness? Was it something always has happened in somebody's life that caused them to not want to be who they are? And then they begin looking around for a way to escape. And what I want to do is let people know that they don't need to escape. They need to face whatever issue it is, get effective, sound psychotherapy, and avoid hormones, avoid unnecessary surgery. Turn your life around, and you're going to be far better off than struggling with the issues of a lifetime of hormone therapy and surgery that mutilated your body.
Wald Heyer, thank you very much for talking to us today. Appreciate it, sir. God bless.
Thank you.
Remarkable life.
Yeah, whether you agree with him or not, I mean, what an experience to
go
through.
Oh, my gosh. And he's going to be bashed. So are we for having him on, I'm sure. But you can't say that that guy hasn't lived it. I mean, that guy has as much right to say what he believes as Bruce Jenner.
Sure.
When he came out and announced, I have the same feeling about Bruce Jenner, you know, when he was Bruce and he came out and said, I'm Caitlyn. I mean, I feel the same way. How are you going to argue with somebody's, you know, life experience? Can't. I want to talk to you about a good night's sleep. You perhaps need a new mattress. I bought a new mattress years ago, and I went to the, I went to the mattress store. And my wife and I, we laid on these stupid mattresses for a while. And, you know, she would lay next to me, and I'd lay next to her. And, you know, hell, are you comfortable? I don't know. Things are... By the time you've laid on two mattresses, you no longer can tell. You're like, I don't even know anymore. I bought the mattress, and then I got it home, and I got it set up, and then I started sleeping on it. And within about 10 days, I hate this bed. Too late. Casper knows that the worst thing that you can do is go to a store and try it out in a store. That's not real. Try it in your home for 100 nights. You might know in a week. Try it out for 100 nights. If you don't love it, they will refund every single dime. It is two high-tech foams, guaranteed you have a good night's sleep, sleeping cool. It's like the other side of the pillow, the cool side of the pillow. And it ships free in a box so small you're not going to be able, you'll be able to lift it up yourself, by yourself. It's not even awkward. Put it on the bed, then open it up. Be careful. Make sure it's where you want the bed when you open it up because there's a mattress inside. The best way to find a mattress is to sleep on it. Sleep cool and comfortable every night with a Casper. Try it for 100 nights free with free shipping and returns. All you have to do is go to Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck at $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck, $50 off right now. Terms and conditions do apply. It's Casper.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Boy, this was just such a heartbreaking hour, but fascinating. One thing we have failed to mention at any length is Charlie Gard's passing. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. Such a tragic story, and one that deserves some of our time tomorrow. I think tomorrow maybe we should talk a little bit about vengeance and who it belongs to.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.